Well, thank you to those of you that are here seated and waiting for worship to begin. I think we need to subscribe to some church Muzak or something that could be sort of playing in the background while you watch us scurry around and try to fix technical problems. We don't know if those of you who are online will be able to hear us or join us this morning. If you're hearing my voice, that's good. If you're just watching me make motions, that's probably not good, and we apologize. We'll apologize over email later. We do have a wonderful service of worship plan today, and we are excited about being together, and we're going to invite, as we begin, Deacon Andrea to come forward, and as our liturgist, open us up in worship.
Please join me in our opening prayer, praying together. O God, you are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Glorious in holiness, full of love and compassion, abundant in grace and truth. Your works everywhere praise you, and your glory is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, blessed and holy Trinity, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrea. I invite those of you who are here live to stand. And thank you again for your patience as we sort of recenter ourselves and enter into a spirit of worship. Going to dim the lights a little bit. We're going to dim our lights in the house. We're going to dim our lights in the house and invite God's presence in our lives and celebrate the goodness of God. You notice we have a slimmed down team this morning, and so things are going to sound a little bit softer and a little more acoustic. And sometimes that quiet can call us closer to God and cause us to pay a little bit more attention. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He is my strength, he is my song.
He is my song.
His love endures forever. I will proclaim what he has done. His love endures forever. I will enter and give thanks to him. This holy gate the righteous may enter, and I will give you thanks. You answered me, you are my salvation. This is a day the Lord has made. Hey, 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 hey. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day the Lord has made. Hey, 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 hey. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He is my strength, he is my song. His love endures forever.
I will proclaim
what he has done. His love endures forever.
I will enter and give thanks.
I will enter and give thanks to him. This holy gate the righteous may enter, and I will give you thanks. You answered me, you are my salvation. This is a day the Lord has made. Hey, 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 hey. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day the Lord has made. Hey, 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 I will rejoice. the day the Lord has made. Hey, 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 I will rejoice and be glad. I will be glad in it.
Amen. Please be seated. All creatures of our God and King, all that which is in creation praises God, is drawn to God, intuitively knows God and misses God, and wants to enter into worship. Let us enter into worship. As we come into worship, oftentimes we come into worship with longings, with burdens, with hopes and dreams that are not fulfilled. And one of the ancient cries to God is, God, how long? How long do we have to put up with this world? How long are you going to put up with this world? How long are you going to put up with injustice? How long are you going to put up with an unjust society? And so this ancient cry comes to us today. And as we offer it, we are aware that we're going into, after this, a time of confession, so we can think about our own lives and how long we want to struggle with our burdens and what we need to release. The song, I think we've sung this a couple times, but if you haven't heard it, the melody goes like this in the verse.
long, how long will you turn your face away?
Let's try that.
How long will you turn your face away? How long
do you, will you hear it? Do you hear us when we pray?
How long do you hear us when we pray?
On and on, still we walk this pilgrim way, how long?
On and on, still we walk this pilgrim way, how long?
So you get a sense of the melody, it repeats plenty of times, you'll catch up. And then the chorus goes like this.
Till you wipe away the tears from every eye, till we see our home descending from the sky, do we wait in vain? Jesus, give us hope again.
Okay, so you all know it by heart now, right? You'll catch on. Singing as a prayer. There's some lovely lyrics in this. Offer this as a cry of your heart. Reflect on your own life and society as well, and what we are asking God to do, to come and to come and to intervene and to be present in our lives and in our society.
How long will you turn your face away? How long do you hear us when we pray? On and on, still you hear us pilgrim way. How long?
Second verse, how long till your children find their rest?
How long till your children find the rest? How long till you draw them to your breast? We go on holding to your promises. How long?
Till you wipe away.
Till you wipe away the tears from every eye. Till we see our home descending from the sky. Do we wait in vain? Jesus, give us hope again.
How long?
How long till your word will still the storm? How long till you bear your mighty arm? How we groan till you snatch us from the thorns? How long
till you wipe away?
Till you wipe away the tears from every eye. Till we see our home descending from the sky. Do we wait in vain? Jesus, give us hope again. How long? Sweet the dawn that ends the race. How long? Weak our hearts, but strong our legs. Looking on, break that cloud of witnesses. How long? Till you wipe away the tears from every eye. Till we see our home descending from the sky. Do we wait in vain? Jesus, give us hope again. Amen, Jesus, come.
Amen, Jesus, come.
Amen, Jesus, come. Amen, Jesus, come. Amen, Jesus, come. Amen, Jesus, come.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, in the silence of our hearts, let us confess our sin to God. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Andrea. Having heard those words of forgiveness, we experience and share with one another the peace of Christ. And this song is a way of doing that. It embodies the peace of Christ. See how good it is, from Psalm 133. And because we have a little bit of leeway here, we don't have the software band with us this morning. We can sing analog and acoustic. The song goes like this. See how good it is. Sing that with me. See how good it is. Gathering with friends. Try that. Gathering with friends. Welcoming the stranger in. See how good it is. Welcoming the stranger in. See how good it is. Okay, that's the verse. You already have it. Chorus goes like this. When God's children live as one, by the Spirit we become. Try that. When God's children live as one, by the Spirit we become. The open arms of God to a world in need of love. The open arms. The open arms of God to a world in need of love. All right, you already have it. Y'all want to join us up here? It's wonderful. Let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
See how good it is gathering with friends, welcoming the stranger in. See how good it is
with God's children.
When God's children live as one, by the Spirit we become. The open arms of God to a world in need of love. Sad division cease. Joyful feast, see how good it is. When God's children live as one, by the Spirit we become. The open arms of God to a world in need of love. see how good it is when God's children live as one. By the Spirit we become the open arms of God to a world in need of love, to a world in need of love.
This week I invite you to share the peace of Christ with someone that may need to receive it and may need to experience it. Amen. I want to invite Deacon Andrea to come forward. We're going to bring the lights back up. We have a moment for a children's message, and I want to invite the children to come forward and enjoy this. Come on forward. Adult children, welcome too. We have two. That means it can be a children's message rather than a child's message. There we go.
Thank you. Welcome. All right. Who knows what this is? Frisbee, yes. Thank you for raising your hand. What do you think it is? A frisbee, you're right. All right. This frisbee will help us learn more about what God expects from you and me. But first, we're going to read from God's Word. This morning, our Bible story is a familiar story that Jesus told. It's called the Parable of the Talents. In the Parable of the Talents, a wealthy man was going to go on a trip, and he called his three servants together and told them that he would be gone for a long time and that he was leaving them in charge of all his wealth. He divided up his wealth and gave it to the three servants. To the first servant, he gave 5 talents. Now, that might not sound like much to you, but in Jesus' day, that was a lot of money. To the second servant, he gave 2 talents, not as much as the first servant, but still a large sum of money. To the third servant, he gave 1 talent. Even 1 talent was worth quite a lot. The first servant took the 5 talents that his master had given him and put it to work and earned 5 more talents. The second also invested his 2 talents wisely and earned 2 more talents. The third servant took his 1 talent and he buried it in the ground for safekeeping. When the master returned, he was very pleased when the first 2 servants told him that they had doubled his money. "Well done," he said, "because you have been faithful with what I have given you, I will give you much more." "How about you?" he asked the third servant. "What did you do with the money I left with you?" The third servant said to the master, "I knew that you were a hard man, and I was afraid, so I went out and hid your treasure in the ground so that it would be safe. See, here it is." The master was angry. "You are a wicked and lazy servant. You could have at least put my money in the bank where it would earn more." He then took the 1 talent from the lazy servant and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. So in this parable of the talents, God is like the master, and you and I are his servants. And the talents that the master gave to his servants in this story was a form of money. But God has given us talents too, hasn't he? Yes. God created each of us with special gifts, and he expects each of us to use those gifts for the purpose for which he gave them to us. So we already established that this is a frisbee, but pretend for a moment that you don't know what this is, and you've never seen one of these before. You might think it was a dinner plate. We would eat dinner off of this, right? We could probably do that. Or maybe a hat. Could that be a hat? It could probably be a hat, maybe. Keep us like protected from the rain a little bit. Or perhaps we could use it to dig in the sand as a digging tool, right? It could be just about anything. Maybe it could be for dogs. Yes, maybe it could be for dogs. A chew toy, right? Oh, my dogs would love to chew this up. But it isn't, right? It isn't. It's a Frisbee. And the person who created the Frisbee created it for a purpose, right? And the purpose of a Frisbee is to, I'm not going to do it here, but to fly, right? So really, honestly, this Frisbee isn't super impressive to look at. In a world full of like high-tech electronic toys, it's kind of low on the totem pole, right, for toys, as far as toys go, but boy, can it fly. And sometimes you and I may look at the talents that God has given us or given to others and think that God hasn't given us very much talent. We might even be tempted to hide our talent. But when we use our God-given talent to be all that God intended for us to be, boy, can we fly, right? All right, so let's pray. Dear Father, help us to use the talents that you have given us to be what you intended for us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you guys to join us for roundup after worship, because Miss Dina has an activity for us to use Frisbees to learn how to fly. Awesome.
So Elder Dina is making her way forward from the sound booth so she can tell us what is going on in the life of St. Andrews. We do want to remind you, if you are on the membership rolls of St. Andrews Presbyterian Church, we have a brief congregational meeting scheduled for after the service. Typically, it does not take very long, but it is a requirement of our national constitution that we have this meeting. And so we invite you to stick around for probably 5 to 10 minutes after the service.
Good morning, everyone. Of course, I forgot my notes. So Andrea's pulling something up for me so I can just be refreshed. That is exactly what I need. Thank you. Okay, so Dan mentioned that we're going to have a brief congregational meeting this afternoon or this morning after worship. So if you can stick around for that, we will be voting on our nominating committee. And then, of course, next weekend, I mentioned last week that we have a bunch of things going on. So on Saturday, the 22nd, is the crop walk. So there is a link in the loop to join into that movement. It's to help raise money for food insecurity in our area. We would love to have members of St. Andrews join us on that walk. It is a very brief 1 mile walk, starting right here at the property, going around the park. If you can't join us, click that link and make a donation. They do have a goal that they'd like to reach, so if you guys could help them reach that goal, that would be wonderful. Oh, it went off. Sorry. I believe on Sunday, correct me if I'm wrong, is women's Bible study. Is that correct? I'm getting a nod. So women's Bible study will be on Sunday. It's at Daniela Schnetzler's home from 6 to 7:30. And then Monday is book club. So I'm pretty good. I remembered. So Monday is book club. They meet via Zoom. You can get all of this information on the loop. If you'd like to get connected, email paula@standrews.us. Thank you.
O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Arrested Development is a comedy series about a wealthy family with over-the-top characters. They are unscrupulous, immoral, lazy, greedy, and jealous of each other. The senior George Bluth is about to hand over the global real estate and development firm leadership to his son Michael, who is the most grounded and sane of the bunch. Now, this is a business that started with a humble frozen banana stand on a beach boardwalk, which still exists in the show. And George and others have grown this to be a large firm. But as he is about to hand over the reins to his son, Michael, the authorities show up to arrest George for embezzlement, jail him, and freeze the company assets. When Michael visits his dad in prison, George continually reminds him with a wink during these supervised visits, no matter how bad business gets, there's always money in the banana stand, the original Bluth frozen banana stand on the boardwalk. Michael's thinking, yes, that's nostalgic, but we need more money than that.
and that's the only corner of the business left. I have to rebuild from here. Well, long story short, the father tries to continue to run the business from prison and pull strings from prison, and he hampers Michael's efforts to bring sanity to the corporation. So a power and struggle ensues. And finally, to show his father who is boss, in an act of brazen Hollywood something, Michael burns down the banana stand and will rebuild the business honestly his way without that banana stand. He visits his dad to give him the news and tell him who is now boss, and that to show him who's boss, he burned down the banana stand. George the father looks stricken, and I don't know if we have the display here of the dialogue. We do not. His face tenses, he begins to raise his voice as he shouts, "You did what? I burned down the banana stand." George's face is now red as he shouts, "How many times do I have to tell you there's always money in the banana stand?" And that is the point in the series where we learn that George had hidden $250,000 cash in the banana stand, which Michael burned down. Well, I didn't make it much further in the series than that, but the exchange there and the image of the flaming banana stand on the show have stuck with me for better or for worse, and reminds me, this little anecdote reminds me, that there are better and worse places to put our resources in life. Do not put your life savings in something flammable. How we handle our resource in this life matters. It matters to us, and it also matters to God. Deacon Andrea read our text for today, but to just rehearse it again briefly, there's a man going on a journey. He summons his slaves and his servants. He gives them charge over different parts of his property, and to one, he gives a lot of money, the bulk of his wealth, 5 talents. To another, he gives 2, and to another, he gives 1 because he knew that these employees had different kinds of abilities. He goes away. And the one who has 5 goes off and trades with them, invests them, and makes doubles his master's money. And the one who had 2 talents actually was able to do the same thing. But the one who just received the 1 talent actually goes out, digs a hole in the ground, and buries it because he's afraid that if he mismanages it, he is going to suffer his master's wrath. And so the master comes home, he debriefs them, he rewards those, he praises those who have doubled his money. But to the one who buried, to the one who buried the little that he had, he said, "You wicked and lazy slave," this is verse 26, "you wicked and lazy slave," in chapter 25, "you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At least I would have gotten a little bit of interest." So, he says, the order is given, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For," and this is the conclusion of the parable, "for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, again, another interesting and challenging parable from Jesus. Some of us might want to say, "Oh, you were scared. I understand. You just had that one parable and you were worried you would mess it up. And I'm sorry, here's a participation trophy for at least trying. And, just do better next time." But Jesus is actually, the master in this parable is fairly harsh. He is saying, if you bury what you have, then essentially you have made it worthless. That life is always moving. Life always demands further investment. And those who understood that and doubled what they had actually did my will. It's an interesting parable. Scholar N.T. Wright notes that the scribes and Pharisees had been given, with regard to this parable, the scribes and Pharisees had been given the gift of the law. The leaders of the temple had been given the temple and the temple tradition to take care of. And yet under their stewardship, there had been no spiritual investment, no spiritual dividend, no spiritual fruit. They had not employed these treasures that they were given to benefit the people. They have not increased the prosperity of what was left of Israel. On the other hand, there are the followers of John the Baptist and Jesus, and they are sincere. They are about righteousness and justice, compassion, caring for the needy. They are about bringing God's ways, this movement of the kingdom of the heavens to earth. And this movement started out small. They were given something. But due to their joy and their commitment and their desire to see it progress, they and their investment of time and energy in their very lives, they are seeing an increase. They are seeing a dividend. Again, Jesus is always just getting under the fingernails of the Pharisees and the priests. We might ask ourselves, well, which servant resembles the church at large today? Are churches increasing joy and compassion in the world? Are they creating situations of justice in the world? Or are they tempted to play it safe, bury their endowments, their energy in the same denominational programs, perpetual habits, and routines? Are they burying them, or are they making an investment out in the world that is paying off dividends? Well, the good news is that there is some creativity out there. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the field of microlending, in which Grameen Bank makes small loans to people in the two-thirds world who are poor and looking to lift themselves out of poverty. As a rehearsal of what I said a few weeks ago, this was a PhD, Unid, I believe was his name, Muhammad Unid, from Bangladesh, who went and got his PhD in economics and finance, came back to Bangladesh, and saw that there were villages, mostly women working, who essentially were making maybe a penny or a couple pennies a week because they had to buy their materials, I think it was baskets that they were making, some sort of craft to sell, but they were being charged so much for the supplies that they were essentially indentured servants of their suppliers. And so he had this idea, well, if we just make small loans, then they can pay those back, and they'll pay a lot less interest than they're paying their overlords, and they can get on their own feet. And so Yunus found that with $26 loan, he could lift a whole village out of poverty. And so this field of micro lending began. Well, World Vision is a Christian agency that ministers in the area of global relief. And on their website, we don't have the rights to rebroadcast it, but on their website is a video about their micro-lending ministry. It's called The CEO. And it tells the story of an African woman named Jacqueline who grew up in a village in poverty. She lost her brothers and sisters to poverty, but through a micro-loan of $400, she was able to purchase a sewing machine. In the voiceover from the transcript, she says, "I served 4 years to buy it. It was so beautiful. I worked hard, but I barely had enough money for a roof over my children's head or to send them to the school. But the Lord changed my life through this." So Jacqueline started sewing. She quadrupled her profits, and then she quadrupled them again. And she says in the video, "I bought one more sewing machine, and then I bought another and another, and I hired people from my town. Designs by Jacqueline, the name of her brand, sold its first school uniform for 90 cents. It was a big hit, it was very popular, and it still is. I now have 20 sewing machines and many employees. All our children are useful. My boys now have a bright future. My daughter is good at math, and she wants to be a doctor." $400 changed less than many of us pay for utilities and cell phones and cable bills every month. $400 changed so many lives and brought dignity to those who are impoverished. I mean, thank God that people in the church at large are being inspired in creative ways around the world. Well, what about us? Well, we've probably been all these servants in the parable at St. Andrew's at different times. I've probably been all these servants at different times. The one who buried the talent, the one who made a little return, and occasionally we became the ones who knocked it out of the park because there was nothing up here on this hill but a gravel road and that older house over there, rancher, that was being rented, and it was in disrepair, and now there's so much more here, and that's because of your investment. Last week, we talked about the theological school library that came to be in Ethiopia as a result of much prayer and effort and lots of effort and fundraising in the leadership of Elder Ed Pollock, may he rest in peace, and his sister Leah, who picked up the vision after Ed passed away. The denomination in Ethiopia that we were supporting to build this seminary library has its historic roots in Lutheran and Presbyterian churches. Now, here's a snapshot that it was interesting. I didn't mention this last week when we showed some pictures of the new library. That denomination in Ethiopia has approximately 10 million members and only 3,000 pastors to serve. That's why they needed the seminary library to train more pastors. By contrast, this denomination has about 1.2 million members, slightly over a tenth, and 18,000 ministers, six times the number. So you see the disparity. And this denomination is not growing by and large, and that denomination is exploding. So what is God doing? God is doing amazing things with those who are energetic and excited about ministry. And not that there aren't people in this denomination that are excited. There are excited people in this denomination. And by and large, those of us in these historic denominations in America sometimes worries that we've been those who have buried the talents. And we've not pulled them out to invest in the gifts that God has given us. What happened in Ethiopia, and this was a nationwide effort of a network of churches and pastors who got together to send 6,000 books over there, and the money necessary to build the library through volunteer labor. It's an amazing result, and it has its roots in hard work, generosity, and investment of time and energy, and yes, money. Real, tangible things. It took time to do it. It took people's energy to do it. People had to fly over there to build things. Ed Pollock had to drive around to churches in this area and pick up heavy boxes of books and catalog them and spend his energy doing that and money. Ted Pollock, Ed's father, John and Carrie in this congregation, their grandfather, he was a missionary over there, and Ed grew up over there as a missionary son. Ted Pollock, who's since passed away. He passed away several years ago in his 90s. He had committed his life to sharing the gospel in Ethiopia, and Ed once shared with me that even into his 90s, missionary Ted, who retired in New York, I believe, had two streams of income and only two streams of income. He lived on very little. He had a pension from being a missionary, and he had Social Security. And with only that, he only lived on one of those streams of revenue, and he gave all of the other one to missions. Half of his income, roughly, he gave to missions. That's an investment. It cost him something, and the fruit is still being born in Ethiopia. Ed had a similar passion for stewardship and was known for nudging all of us to give more and more. I think at one point in one of his talks, stewardship talks, he noted the models of cars parked in our parking lot and ruffled a few feathers. And one of those nice cars is mine. And I wasn't here, but my feathers could have been ruffled. But he was trying to nudge us toward more and more investment in things that matter in life. It takes energy and effort to invest. It takes energy to say, and it takes a vision to say, could there be a new library in war-torn Ethiopia where there are millions of refugees from the conflict with Sudan? Most of us say, no. And actually, someone who was in the funding stream and offered us a grant eventually, after we sent several applications, called me privately and said, are you sure this is something that could really happen? And I said to this, it was a realistic question given the scope of the project. And I said to this person on the phone, if Ed Pollock says it's going to happen, it is going to happen. Because Ed was one of those people who could carry the five talents and double them. That's the vision and the encouragement I want to leave us with today, that is a possibility, that we could continue to be that congregation, so much what we have been given, because we have been given so much, so much. What's our investment? What's your investment of time and talents and resources? What could God do if we went all in? What could God double in our midst? Let's pray and let's ask. Almighty God, we thank you that you call us to bold vision. And we say sorry for those times when we have buried what we have out of fear, out of reactivity or compulsion. We've been through a lot. Our society has been through a lot the last couple years, and fear is a pervasive emotion for many of us. And we ask now that you heal us from some fear and teach us where it's appropriate to be bold and teach us when it's appropriate to invest. What are you calling congregations to do in this time, O God? We lift this mission up to you with loose hands and open palms. It's not ours, it is yours, and we ask you that you would lead us. And when you do entrust us with these gifts, give us the wisdom and the skill and the intuition to know how to invest our, our time and our energy and our resources to bring more of a spiritual dividend and more of a spiritual prosperity of compassion and justice to your kingdom. In the name of Christ, amen.
Please note that our offering basket is located in the foyer. We also have tithing opportunities available through our website at www.standrews.us. Please select the tithing menu at the top, and thank you for supporting this vital ministry.
Please stand for our final song. I chose this song for worship because I knew the topic I would be preaching on and the parable I would be sharing. And this song, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, is an older song. Some of us know it and have sung it. And it is a way of reminding us that when we are out in the world, that when we are investing our time and our energy, that love will be the dividend that people experience. And so let's offer this as a prayer this morning, and also as setting an intention that we are out in the world sharing the love of God with others.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Friends, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen. And go in peace.